2 weeks ago yesterday, I was coming back from a holiday in San Gimignano. And when we arrived in Pisa Airport in plenty of time, midday, the monitor screen told us that the flight from Pisa to Stansted would be delayed by 4 hours. I blinked twice and read again, but there was no mistaking it. So my sister Kathleen and I faced a long delay, 7 hours it appeared to be. But after the first 10 minutes shock of disbelief, we decided to go and have a plate of pasta. And then, as the sun was shining, we would sit out in the warm sunshine and watch the Italians go by. And we had plenty of entertainment. But when the flight was called at 7:30, we were pretty weary. But nevertheless, we're not unhappy. And the flight took off at 8:1. Many people are hearing today's story of the widow impatiently hammering on the judge's door. We'll take the parable as telling them to keep on pestering God until he hears their prayer. But that's not what Jesus meant. For remember that he also said that the Heavenly Father knows all our needs before we even ask him. So this implies that prayer is not a battering ram to break down God's resistance. Jesus was not offering that kind of advice about prayer. And so I suggest it would be better to turn to the first reading and to think of prayer as we see it there with Moses on top of the hill with his arms raised out in prayer. Just like that. He was doing no more, as far as we can tell. Nothing more. And it seems that it was not words, but the holding up of his arms in silent appeal that brought help. And it was not when his words dried up that things began to go wrong. It was when he lowered his arms that Israel started to lose the advantage. And that picture with somebody with arms stretched out in silent appeal to God is easily imitated, surely, in our lives. In the language that Jesus spoke, Aramaic, the word for prayer is Shela, S-H-E-L-A. And Shela can be interpreted to mean to open oneself and listen. To open oneself and listen. Prayer as opening oneself to God and listening. And Isaiah has a beautiful line about how the Lord awakens him each morning to listen. He says, morning by morning he wakens me, wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. And if we allow God to open our ears each morning, how our life would change. If we were to see prayer as a time mainly for listening to God, being open to God, how much it would help us. A friend of mine named Jean came here about a week ago for a day of peace and quiet. It's the first time she had taken a complete day off from looking after her daughter. And she decided that trying to be silent on her own was something she had discovered spasmodically through her life, but never really practiced it. So she thought it would be good to try to spend a day with the Lord in peace and quiet. When we talked after she had arrived, she spent most of the time crying. You see, she has a an alcoholic husband and a daughter of 13 with spina bifida. But after we talked, she went off to be alone with the Lord and spent a lot of time in the oratory, trying to be open to God and listen. And when she came back to lunch, she seemed quiet but peaceful. And when I caught up with her again around 3:30, she was a different woman. The problems were still staring her in the face, but she smiled and even laughed a lot. So I suggest that being open to God and listening had helped her to find a balance that had restored her energy and refocused her mind. Prayer had rescued her from the distress of the moment. It is prayer that has saved my life. I'm quoting from the front of the bulletin from Gandhi. It is prayer that has saved my life. Without it, I would have lost my reason long ago. If I did not lose my peace of soul in the midst of many trials, he continues, it is because of the peace that came to me through prayer. The peace that comes to us through prayer, being open to God and listening. It makes us feel a little bit detached from all of us. And that little bit of detachment is a huge help in facing our anxieties. But when we practice that kind of waiting on God or sitting silently before God, it affects the whole of our lives. It also opens us to the world around us. It opens us particularly to see the goodness in people around us. And in that wait at Pisa Airport, I think I was practicing something like that, being open and listening and watching. We find that gift whenever we remain, like Moses, just silently waiting, silently appealing to God, doing no more than stretching ourselves out open before God. We find that our eyes and our hearts are opened in a new way, open and understanding, open and admiring, open and loving. I'd like to end with a poem that speaks to me about this business of keeping our eyes open. Everyone should be born into this world happy and loving everything. But in truth, it rarely works that way. For myself, I have spent my life clamoring towards it. Hallelujah. Anyway, I'm not where I was when I started. And have you too been trudging like that? Sometimes almost forgetting how wondrous the world is and how miraculously kind some people can be. And have you too decided that probably nothing important is ever easy? Not say for the first 60 years. Hallelujah, I'm 60 now, and even a little more. And some days I feel I have wings. So I suggest a prayer that makes us open and receptive, makes us feel sometimes that we've got back our wings.